I want to read from Acts chapter 3, verse 15. I'm going to read a number of verses that have to do with the resurrection because it's a theme. It's a major theme in Scripture, and I think it'll be a blessing to our hearts. Acts chapter 3 and verse 15. But you denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and you killed the author of life. Killed the author of life. Whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. To this we are witnesses. I ask a question. How do we know that Jesus rose from the dead? How do we know that? How do we know that? That's a good question. And I wrote here that there are many infallible proofs. We rely mainly on testimony and on witnesses, testimony and witnesses. And so we ask, were the original testimonies about Jesus trustworthy? Can they be trusted to have conveyed correctly what Jesus said and what Jesus did? And my statement to me was, I believe they can be trusted. I can trust the apostles' testimonies, the 12 apostles. I can trust the apostles' testimonies because of these 12 men, 11 who, one who died, the rest were martyred. Deaths on the basis of two things, now, why we can trust this. Number one, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and number two, these 12, their belief in him as the Son of God. They were tortured, and they were flogged, and they finally faced death by some of the most cruelest methods known to man. History tells us, listen carefully now, Peter was crucified, Andrew was crucified, Matthew was killed by the sword, John was the only one who died of old age, James, son of Alphaeus, was crucified, Philip was crucified, Flatius was killed by arrows, James, the brother of Jesus, was stoned, Thomas, killed by spears, Bartholomew was crucified. James, son of Zebedee, was killed by the sword. And on it goes and on it goes. Every one of these were killed because they believed in the resurrection. Some would say, well, a lot of people have died for a lie. Yes, a lot of people have died for a lie, but they thought it was the truth. At least they thought it was the truth. Now, if the resurrection didn't take place, these disciples knew about it. It would be hard to find people in history who died for a lie knowing it was a lie. When the apostles wrote or spoke, they did so as eyewitnesses of the events that they described. The apostles certainly knew the difference between myth or legend or reality. And so reading verses like Luke chapter 24, you might want to just turn to that. Luke 24:46-48 says, thus it was written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Jesus was alive, and they saw him with their own eyes. Not some other story they heard about. They saw it with their own eyes. They could give a first-hand account of what happened during that time. Acts chapter 1:1-3, it says, he presented himself alive. He presented himself alive to them after his sufferings by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. 40 days. And they saw him and talked with him. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. This Jesus God raised up, and that of it we are all witnesses. The apostles themselves had to be convinced that Jesus was raised from the dead. James died a martyr's death when he described not... He wouldn't accept that. He had to be convinced of it. Peter denied Christ, and he was hung upside down. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-3. For I delivered, Paul said, I delivered to you as of first importance that I also received that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance. The Apostle Paul, his entire life was on that this event had happened. He had seen the risen Lord. Raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, which was Peter, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren. 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are alive today, though some have fallen asleep. In other words, they died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. All the apostles. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Wow. It wasn't done in a corner. All kinds of people saw, hundreds actually, saw the risen Christ. You know that you couldn't be an apostle unless you had seen the risen Christ. That was the prerequisite. Once these disciples had seen the risen Savior, they could imprison them, flog them, kill them, but you could not make them deny their conviction that on the third day he rose again. On the third day, he rose again. He is not here. I was in the washroom. I saw that in the wall. And I thought, this is great. Just a reminder. He is not here. He has risen, as he said. As he said. How wonderful. The bold conduct of the apostles, immediately after, they were convinced of the resurrection. Acts chapter 5. But then when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name, the name of Jesus. And then every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. See, it's hard to explain why one of them would not have broken down under pressure. You think that of the 12, that one would not have been able to handle that. But we have no record of that. Buoyancy and courage. They were bold overnight. They were timid in this moment. And the next moment, they are alive and vibrant. And no man would be willing to die unless, of course, he had the truth. That's what Tertullian said. Jesus' followers couldn't have faced torture and death unless they were convinced of his resurrection. You wouldn't die for a lie. You might for the truth, but not for a lie. On the day of the crucifixion, they were filled with sadness. But on the first day of the week, they were filled with gladness. How do we account for that? Well, they saw the Lord. They saw the Lord. But you know, on a personal level, I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. You weren't there 2,000 years ago. But by the power of the Spirit, we have. I believe that when I see Jesus, it won't be any different from what I knew him to be when he was here on earth. I will know that, and you will know that. I wrote this. I believe he changed my life. I believe he is the eternal Son of God. I believe in the resurrection. It's prerequisite. This is the most important doctrine for believers. Martin Luther said, the resurrection of Jesus is the chief article of our faith. This is the foundation one. If the resurrection didn't happen, we've perpetuated a colossal hoax. If this isn't the truth, if for some reason we find out that it's not the truth, it's the greatest hoax ever put upon people. Because what we said it was about. See, this either, it's true, it either happened or it didn't happen. And if it happened, we haven't got enough balloons. Right? We don't have enough balloons if it happened. Listen to this confession. I am a witness. And then I take it from Romans chapter 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I can remember still, I'm an old guy now, but I remember when I wasn't. And I remember the man who introduced me to Jesus at the end of a meeting in the town I grew up in. And he said, Owen, would you like to, I want you to pray a prayer of repentance. I didn't even know that part. I didn't even know what that meant. But he said, would you like to pray with me? And I was shaken like a leaf probably. And he said, I want you to confess this if this is real to you. He said, do you believe that Jesus is Lord? And I said, yes. Do you believe? And here's the curse. And he looked at me. Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? I said, yes. Then he said, why don't you receive him then? Open your heart and receive him. And I did. And the reality of that living Christ coming into my life over now all the years, decades, he's alive. And if somebody put a gun to our head and say, deny that this, we'd have to have them shoot us. Go ahead and shoot. Because we believe. The greatest truth in the world, the greatest doctrine in the world. You see, if it didn't happen, we might as well all go golfing. There's nothing wrong with golfing, but there's no sense doing anything else. We might as well go over to the Black Bear. Spend a lot of time over there probably after this. Because if it's not the truth, but if it's the truth, then Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus is the living God. He died, and God raised him from the dead. And because of that, now he's alive. And if you put down all the people who had passed away, it'd be the one that would be, he's not dead, he's alive. He'll come into your heart. And you can have an experience with him right now. You can invite him into your heart right now and go out here saying, I believe that Jesus, A, died for me, and secondly, rose again for me. This is not some dry, dusty thing. It's the real thing. And you're here this morning. We're so glad you're here. I wonder if maybe there's one person here, maybe two. I don't know, maybe there's more than that. But that you're here and you really want to experience the living Lord. I would tell you that you will never, ever, ever be sorry that you invited the Son of God into your heart. But the door is locked from the inside. I can't open the door and you can't open the door. But I thought maybe today I would lead us in a prayer. And if anybody's here, I just wouldn't want anyone to miss this, that I'm going to lead us in a prayer. That's just a prayer about who Jesus is. And if you would want to open your heart, you could just pray quietly in your head or in your heart. God knows. And it could be your changing moment that you can look back and say, oh, I know when I gave my heart to the Lord. It was Easter Sunday. Easter Sunday, yes. And you will be gratified. And he writes our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's just all wonderful things that happen. And it's real. It's not about religion. The invitation is not for you to come to church, although you're welcome to come to church. The invitation is to experience Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the call. And if that's you today and you say, oh, I so would like that to happen. I would like Christ to come into my heart. Then why don't you pray with me? Make this your prayer. There's probably others praying right now. But if you're here today and you've come on this Easter Sunday and you're looking forward to the hot dogs and you're looking forward to all the other stuff, but the most important thing is right here of letting him come into your heart. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. If you'd like to bow your heart with us. You can just pray it inside of your heart if you want to. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I confess that I need you. I need a Savior. Please forgive me for all I've done that was displeasing. cleanse me and make me new inside. I confess that Jesus is Lord, and I confess that God has raised him from the dead. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Change me. I call on the name of the Lord. Save me. Let this be, with all of your heart, let this be the moment when I believed. Jesus, I love you. Thank you for what you've done for me, that you are alive and here today. In Jesus' name, I pray this and I thank you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be around here quite a while afterwards. If you just want to come and pull my sleeve and say, I prayed that prayer for the first time. The first time I made that my prayer. Tell me about it. And we'll rejoice with you.